money in politics is constitutionally protected speech. That came out of groups, that case came out of groups inspired by the Powell memo. Soon after that, Lewis Powell on the Supreme Court extended those free speech rights to corporations trying to spend unlimited amounts of money in elections. That ruling from Lewis Powell ended up becoming the basis for Citizens United. Citizens United, written by, of course, Lewis Powell's immediate successor on the court, Anthony Kennedy, himself a former corporate lobbyist, famous for doling out money in Sacramento in that legislature there. And that ruling, of course, says that money cannot be regulated, spent in elections if it comes from so-called independent expenditure committees. And that ruling now has allowed an explosion of campaign cash into our political system. And finally, after that came a string of rulings essentially weakening the federal bribery statute so that it's almost impossible to prosecute corruption and bribery, straight up bribery. So the point being here is that people who are watching this understand that the system is dominated by money. I think what we unearth, again, through never before reported documents, is that it was a specific plan to deregulate the campaign finance system by people who knew they couldn't get their way on policy unless they were able to short circuit democracy. To my mind, this is the real crisis of democracy, allowing our democracy to be bought.
And we just have 20 seconds. How is this election normalizing corruption, David?
Well, when you look at Donald Trump running out there saying to oil donors, I'll give me $1 billion and I will give you the policies that you want. When you see, to my mind, Democrats trying to avoid taking too many positions that might offend their corporate donors. When you see Democrats, big donors, demanding, for instance, they fire Lina Khan. And that none of that seeming like a scandal, all of it seeming like that's just the way politics is done. We are in an era where that kind of corruption is now normal.
We have to leave it there. David Sirota, editor-in-chief of The Lever, the podcast series Master Plan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Independence. Not being subject to another's authority or jurisdiction. Grassroots, the common or ordinary people. KBOO, a community radio station that supports both. Join us in our mission to push the status quo by becoming a member today. Go to kboo.fm/give between now and September 21st to donate and help us reach our $30,000 fall membership drive goal to wake up the neighborhood.
KBOO.
Hello, you are listening to The Gap here on KBOO. We are KBOO's multi-listen-to radio talk show on Friday at 8 a.m. when we are on, and that is scientific. My name is Tammy. And with me is the one and only Althea Billy.
Hello and good morning. I'm delighted to be here. I made my chair lower.
This chair keeps getting lower every time.
So I think we can be the same.
You know how it used to be that my knee would get hurt by the top of it? Now it's my ankles are getting hurt.
Oh, mixing it up.
We switch around real quick.
You are listening to The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. We have a fabulous show for you today. We like to do a two-parter type of show. So oftentimes that'll be an interview. Today we got a news roundup. And then stick around for the second half. We will be getting into our community question, where you can go from a listener by dialing just a few buttons, turn Alchemy Like into a caller. Before we get into business today, we want to remind you it is KBOO's Wake Up the Neighborhood Drive.
Wake it up!
Wake up! That's all we're trying to do here at KBOO. We are trying to wake you up with our ideas. We're trying to wake you up with every kind of music you can think of. If you appreciate that kind of thing, now is a great time to join us as a member, or you can make a one-time donation. We really appreciate it. KBOO.fm/give. You can text the word KBOO to 44321. You can snail mail us a check. You can, I guess, U.S. mail us a check. Forget the snails. The address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Before we go, I want to thank some people who've donated recently. We got two anonymous donations. Charles S., thank you. John W., thank you. And Cameron B., helping us out. We really appreciate it.
Wake it up.
Wake up the neighborhood.
Woo!
Okay. Now I have to make my chair taller because yours is taller.
Yeah, I got the squeakiest chair of all of Portland, Oregon, right here. It makes for great radio. I like it. That's how you know we're here. It's live. We're alive.
We are alive.
There it is.
So true.
How
are you doing? I feel like we just breeze past. You know, we like to say hi.
We just went right by through it. Yeah, some pleasantries. Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
You know, just fine. Happy to be here. Happy to get into it.
Enjoyed the autumn weather and then the summer weather.
Yeah, it's nice.
Enjoyed all of it.
It's going to be lovely this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Tammy was texting me this week and she was like, no, the hot weather. How could I have been so foolish? And I said, you were right, actually. Mm. If you go back 2 weeks to when it was cold and you and I both said, I don't think it's over.
It's not over. It's not over till it's over.
It's not over. Yeah, exactly. Until it rains for a month straight. And then even then, who knows, because of the extreme weather.
But speaking of extreme, manufactured difficulties that people deal with.
There we go.
Apparently, Oregon joins. We're just getting right into it.
Yeah,
Oregon joins a couple of other states in a DOJ lawsuit against a Texas-based company called RealPage.
Yeah.
Oh, the real estate software platform.
Mm-hmm.
And their algorithm has been creating a basically rent hikes.
Yep.
Through algorithms manufactured. Yep. My goodness.
They have all this sort of secret proprietary information, allegedly, that is being fed into an AI algorithm that basically allows landlords to engage in price fixing. So they have, you know, stuff that, you know, a free market is not supposed to be having. And specifically in the lawsuit, it names Central Portland as an area that's been impacted by this price fixing. And then also Alloa and West Beaverton have been, like, the prices there have been impacted by this. So, like, keeping the prices artificially high, because if every landlord in the area keeps the same price, then, you know, everybody has to either pay that price or move somewhere else.
It's pretty...
not allowed.
Yeah, you can't do that. The Attorney General, Rosenblum, was talking... This is a quote from an article that she said in a statement. At a time when housing affordability is a top concern for Oregonians and the countless Americans beyond our state's border, the issue of fairness and competition could not be more critical. It's, like, just crazy. Well, I mean, I guess it all makes sense culminating together with artificial intelligence and technology and trying to use technology to, quote unquote, figure out our human-made problems.
Mm.
RealPage's use of its AI pricing algorithm effectively acts as a hub for property managers and landlords to share confidential, competitively sensitive information and to engage in a pricing alignment scheme to avoid competition.
Not this. You're not. Stop avoiding competition.
According, you know, listen, I need the Star Spangled Banner right behind me right now.
Yeah.
This is
un-American.
This is un-American.
It's un-American.
Un-American.
Yeah, say it. I think you're right.
And it violates the antitrust laws and the Sherman Act. She concluded.
Yeah.
Woof.
I mean, especially because, you know, so rarely do we, or if ever, do we see rent prices go down.
Mm.
And we know the affordability crisis is what it is, that this just continues to climb. And I mean, even the fact that it's like an AI, it's like the AI algorithm did it. We didn't do it. The AI algorithm wanted us to fix the price of rent. Bad. But yes, wanted to update you with that. That's what's going on. And because here's the thing, right? The housing crisis, we have the sort of long term, we haven't built enough housing, so therefore it's scarce and therefore the prices are high. Like, that's one thing. And then there's also, you know, like bad actors.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't
it's worth help. Remembering.
It does not help at all. And then this is actually to what you're saying. This is from Margot Black, who is a renter's advocate here. This is a quote. Even for smaller outfits who aren't subscribed to this algorithm or feeding it data, they see those price listing, the list of price rents, and they think, oh my God, I have to raise my rent. So it trickles out even more to the smaller landlord. So exactly what you're saying. And there it continues on saying, having the government really take a look under the hood about those prices come down and impact on the consumers, on the renters, and on the families living in these homes.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly what you're saying. This.
Anyway,
we'll see. Someone's getting sued.
Someone's getting sued. A long time mantra of this show. Should we go to our next story?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So yesterday morning was the final hearing for you remember the police accountability measure that we passed in 2020 in Portland?
Oh, that thing that like 92% of people,
I think it was 82, but yeah.
Sorry, not 82, sorry.
Yeah. And then there was like a 30-person volunteer commission that worked on it for 3 years, and then in the fall they brought all their, you know, suggestions to city council, and city council was like, what if we put a bunch of cops on there? Like that
city
would
council
be,
womp womp.
Yeah, womp womp. Don't really think we should do that. So this on Thursday, that was the last hearing to figure out if it matches up with the DOJ settlement that Portland police are under for having this long history, long and unfortunate history of using excessive force on people who are experiencing mental illness. And, you know, there's a lot of competition to figure out who gets to put who does city council put on the nominating committee to nominate people to this police accountability board that's going to be run by citizens. And, you know, there was a lot of push on trying to get that done with this city council. Judge says no. It's going to be in January. The mayor doesn't get a say. There's going to be one, you know, of the nominators that the city council gets to pick. There's going to be one from each district. There's one from the Office of Equity and Accountability. There's two like police union representatives, one that's appointed by the chief of police to be on the nominating committee to select people to put on the accountability commission. But, you know, it's a better outcome than what might have happened in terms of, are we building a system that's actually has even the slimmest capacity to hold police accountable?
Yes. Although when I asked you, I was wondering why the judge, was it Judge Simon? Wondering what his background and his, like, why would he decide this? Like, why would he go ahead? Because there was so much push about having it done now, yesterday. So I was just wondering, like, what would make him push this down the line where it would, you know, in my biased opinion, it's you know, the more people, like having three people from one district picking a person to represent the district, it just sounds like it'll be less of an opportunity for, like, some sketchy stuff to go down, you know, so maybe it could be in a way more equitable or something. So I know my reasoning. I just wonder what his is. And then when I asked you, you're kind of, you know, we're talking about the teeth that actually this might whittle down, or I guess, you know, buff down a little bit as far as the impact of what will actually be coming to the committee.
Yeah.
Like what would be presented to them.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Sam and Jasmine in the KBOO News Department who've been following this for some time. They've raised some concerns based on their analysis that, you know, there's a much smaller share of police incidents that will go before this board. Like the suggestion of the Police Accountability Commission that was drafting all this potential code language is to, you know, open it up and have, you know, all of these things be seen by the public. And as it stands right now, it may be the case that it's only, you know, somebody who is hurt by police, somebody who dies in police custody, somebody who police kill, or if there's a bias incident that goes before this board, everything else would just go to internal affairs. And with the code overhaul, because there's like layers upon layers of time Portland has tried to be more accountable. And so there's like overlapping systems, which are sort of getting undone by this new code adoption, which city council should be voting on next week. It's kind of complicated, but it is interesting. And, you know, shout out Joanne Hardesty's, who, you know, at least the Oregon Live coverage of it is saying is sort of the impetus behind pushing out this date at which they're going to start, you know, nominating people. Hardesty testified and said, you know, essentially, you know, if you just approve it for this council, I'm not working on this issue anymore. And that's not what the voters wanted. That's not, you know, this isn't any of what we tried to do.
It's like a bait and switch, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, to a certain extent, like, I think that she makes it one, a very compelling case about what 82% of voters voted for in 2020. Two, we could have a situation, you know, if it was to go into effect tomorrow and our current city councilors were going to, you know, name a bunch of people to it. It could be the case that none of those five are in city office next year.
Yeah, they have.
Wheeler's not running again. Ryan's running for District 2.
No skin in the game.
Yeah, Maps, Rubio, and Gonzalez are running for mayor. Could be none of them that become mayor.
And then imagine how much more politicized it would be, like, the people who they do not, like,
yeah.
It would not, it's not a good, no, listen, I didn't go to law school, but this sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
I'd kick it down the line, too.
There was an issue about, as well, kind of pushback on this requirement that I think the city brought on, that everybody who's going to be on this accountability board should have to go on a police ride-along.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Like, just how are you going to escape the allegations that you're trying to make this biased in favor of police?
I don't know. I think it's... I don't know. Maybe I'm.
But like
I would
that they have to. That they if somebody doesn't want to, they like that could turn people away from serving on an accountability board if they don't feel good about doing a ride along with police. That's what the concern was. But the Judge Simon said, you know, I'll personally volunteer. If you don't feel comfortable with it, I'll go with you. I'll have the federal federal judge,
dude,
overseeing it go along with you on a police ride along.
Like children, basically.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you know.
You're
like
too
this
scared?
Props for him for doing that. I get it, and this is just my opinion. That's silly, but I'm sure I can see 110 reasons why it's not and why it'll make people feel uncomfortable. This is they were talking about an institution that executes state violence to murder people. So
yeah.
Maybe feeling a little uncomfortable going on a ride along is okay. Maybe you'll be okay. I understand you have people that are in there that are either victims of gun violence by cops or family members have been executed by cops. I totally get it. And also, like, I definitely see this being part of it, just so that when they turn to you and say, you don't know what it's like out there in the streets, you can say, I was on a ride-along. Just so you can say that, you know,
yeah.
So they can't hold that against you. You know what I mean?
I guess, I don't know. It's an odd thing to require, I guess.
I think it's totally reasonable. I mean, I hear you.
But I guess in the sense that, like, on a cerebral level, sure, like, having an understanding of what's going on actually out in the field is helpful. But in another sense, it's like, I can't even necessarily get my point across. I don't think I'm losing it. But I don't know.
I get what you're
saying. They've been you know, tussling about this for some time. So just wanted to give everybody a little update about that.
There it is, updating.
Police accountability. Not as bad as things looked you know, 5 days ago about how this was going to go.
Speaking of things not looking bad as they did, and the police not doing anything, so you take the law into your own hands.
Go on.
TriMet takes steps to enforce Oregon's new drug possession law on public transit.
Ooh.
And this law goes into effect on the 1st, on Sunday. Yeah, that is the 1st.
On a holiday weekend?
A long holiday. Mm. On a weekend. Mm. First of the month. Mm. Rent is due. Mm. Y'all are just... They're just not trying to help... They're just not trying to...
Are any public defenders going to be working on Labor Day?
That's what I public defenders.
Nobody's going to have...
Wouldn't they be in there for an extra day because of this? You know,
that's what we're worried about.
Wouldn't it technically be like 182 days? Anyway, so they... Did people not look at calendars before they calendar this stuff out? Law enforcement, including transit police, will begin citing people.
Okay, to a sympathetic point, I've also been saying there's a lot of stuff I'm going to do in September, kind of thinking that September wouldn't happen or that it was really far away. It's like, oh yeah, we'll start that in September. Oh my, September's next week?
November is always the best one because it's right around, right before the holiday. So if you don't, you know, say we'll do it after the holidays.
Yeah. December, everybody clocks out.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Transit police and law enforcement will begin citing people for drug possession punishable by up to 180 days in jail. And they're going on and on about how they're not going to turn a blind eye to the crisis on the streets. And that's why TriMet is asking riders that if you see something, say something.
Are you for real?
By calling a non-emergency hotline, including a recent statement from... The hotline is everywhere.
Narcs on the bus, bro!
The narcs on the bus go round and round. This... Can I say, this is from the Coin article saying that it's mixed reviews. One person saying that it's a great plan, while another saying that you shouldn't criminalize people who are using drugs and saying that it's more of a disease. You want to know what I think? This might be a little...
You're
going to
tell us what you think on your radio show?
I want to tell you what I think.
Okay.
I think that if they're going to create a public transport system,
sure,
and that means that there's plans for it, right, to make it as efficient as it can be. I think that there's been a concerted effort to make things not work so that we absolve the government of its responsibility, for its responsibility and duties to what it owes to us that we pay in. And I mean owe as in I give you money, you owe me services.
Yeah.
So they're stealing from us, not giving us services, waiting for things to get so bad so that they have to put in extra surveillance, extra cops, extra everything so that when things quote unquote get back to normal, which I never will,
we're used to it.
We'll get used to it. And then all that surveillance, all of that safety, all those extra cops, everything, they won't take that back. When have they ever done something extra and then taken it back? That's just not something that they happen.
Yeah.
Maybe we're the resource officers, but they still got them back into schools. So we do this for the sake of we're trying to bring back stability. We're trying to help you. No, you neglected us. You abandoned us.
Mm.
You stole our money.
Mm.
You took this money, gave it to private contractors, put in things like ShotSpotter and all these artificial intelligence things that are just disproportionately hurting the people that you supposedly want to help.
Right.
And you're going to keep all those installations in these neighborhoods long after the quote-unquote crime is gone. And you're going to say, look how good of a job we did. And then you tell us to snitch on our own neighbors.
Mm. Dude, I think you're on it.
You know, they use something like TriMet, something that impacts what? Working class people, students, like parents or people don't have cars or don't want to use their cars, you know? So you're putting people who are like, that's all I've got. I'm going to leave it at that.
I mean, I think you make a great point. I don't even know that I have anything to add with that. I think that you're so on it. And, you know, it's like, oh, good, the bus cops are in on it. which nobody likes the bus cops to begin with. Sorry to the bus cops out there. But, you know.
Are they going to be, I mean, if we, is this going to be a situation where in Texas they're like, if you snitch on someone who had an abortion, we'll give you $1,000? Like, is this what you're incentivizing to us have, to put bounties on the heads of people?
Yeah.
That's, I thought this was Portland, Oregon. What's going on? This is, and the thing is, again, because of the realm that it's in, which is, again, public transportation, it's almost like putting, again, working class people, just the people who need public transportation, you're putting us against each other.
Yeah.
This is not cool. So, TriMet, I don't know. I'm giving you an F for this one.
Mm.
This is not the way to do it. And then even with all these cops,
180 days
still,
in jail.
And it'll be 181 if it's a long weekend.
It's not even necessarily like, you know, somebody that's, this doesn't say that it has to be somebody who's in crisis, somebody who's disrupting, you know, the max line or whatever, somebody who's, you know, throwing stuff around.
They say
anything.
That it's doing drugs, so which goes against their code of conduct for for them. So
but
that's
180
their,
days in jail. You see that, and you're like, you know, somebody needs to go away for, what is that, 6 months?
In a day, if it's on Labor Day.
Holy.
And this is all, again, money for staffing and increased security, and yet you're still asking me to, if I see something, say something?
With the price hike recently. 80 cents, not 75? Oh.
Well, they got...
It's like 280 now, 380? Not 275.
I thought we were in
a funding crisis for TriMet. I thought they were going to turn the buses off. But good. I'm so glad we can staff a hotline and send cops around.
I forgot about staffing the hotline. Oh my God. Do you think maybe
this state cannot staff a hotline? You know that.
You think it's artificial intelligence?
I mean, we're barely answering 911 calls. That's not even true. But they prove that that's not true.
Say, how bad is it? And there is another part here that really, right. And so this is in this article, they saved it to the last. It's the last two lines of the whole article,
this
and
is
it ends
Coyne.
With from Coyne. Meanwhile, data from Multnomah County Sheriff's Office shows that calls for police and public transit continue to drop, with dispatched calls declining more than 50% between 2001-2023.
Yeah, and 21-23. I mean, I feel like that gives so much more credence to your. To your thought that it's like, oh, shoot, are the jails empty? We better get some... We need more bodies in here. Who else can we arrest?
And this is...
If anything, that should indicate that the bus is better than it was.
It's a
either that or cell service is terrible.
So
it could be that.
The new law comes as TriMet stands up a 24-hour security operation center with dispatching software, installs more blue light security phones, cameras on platform, increases safety and security staff to 500 people.
500 people. Oy vey.
It's just absolutely, yeah, the more that we get used to it, the more that we don't push back on it, the more that they will always take away things from us, you know, for the sake of, like, look how we were from COVID. Like, people have not recovered from COVID.
No.
Laws haven't recovered from COVID.
No.
We still, you know.
I mean, I feel like it's also sort of exploiting that antisocial nature that has been so much more prevalent since COVID.
Which is very not... It's like, you know, they have like natural law and human law and stuff like that. It's like, I think us, we're social creatures, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not calling the hotline.
I'm not calling the hotline.
No.
Speaking of hotlines.
Okay.
Fred Meyer strikes again. A new season will strike this Sunday. Literally.
We love it.
I was shocked by the Fred Meyer strike.
Were you? Why were you shocked?
Because they kept it under wraps. I feel like whenever new season's about to strike, they like make, you know, like it makes a ripple effect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just have a better like social media presence. I think
that's what the
union does.
The NLSU is that right? New Season Labor Union. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they're like their own kind of thing. Maybe they're a little more agile, but yeah.
Oh yeah,
union employees, yeah. UFCW, Local 555. Every Fred Meyer store in the Portland metro area went on strike on Wednesday.
Woo.
And it's an unfair labor practice strike. They say that in these ongoing negotiations, contract negotiations they've been having with Fred Meyer, you know, they withheld some critical information from them.
This isn't about the merger that they were going to have with them.
I'm not totally clear on if it's exactly about the merger, but it's also happening while the trial about whether the merger like needs to go through further antitrust stuff is going on in Portland.
Mm-mm-mm.
And UFCW 555 was the only union in like the whole U.S., the only grocery union that deals with either Albertsons or Kroger that at one point in time was pro the merger. They were giving a thumbs up to it. And we were like, huh, that's interesting. A lot of other labor unions are saying no. What are the different conditions here? They pulled their support from it.
And they were the largest, too.
They were the largest. Yeah, largest they pulled their support from it a couple weeks ago. And then now they're on strike. You go buy a Fred Meyer, they're out there, you know?
Mm.
Making it happen.
It is scheduled to start at 6 a.m. Wednesday and is scheduled to run for a little less than 1 week, ending at 8 a.m. next Tuesday, September 3rd, unless the union and Fred Meyers reach a deal to end it sooner.
Mm. Mm.
We're looking at 28 stores. We're going ranging as far as Gresham and Scappoose, and here as far as down in as far down as Salem.
Okay. Mm. Okay. It's funny, the KGW covered this, and they were answering some questions about the Fred Meyer strike. Does this have to do with the Kroger-Albertsons merger? No. Fred Meyer parent company Kroger is trying to acquire Albertsons, and the strike happens to overlap with the first week of the federal hearing to evaluate the merger proposal. Happens to is a... It's coincidence. There's nothing really going on here.
There's the other one is like, is a planned strike to new season on Sunday related to this? No, I'm sure.
That's in the sense that grocery workers, I don't think, are being treated very well. I guess they're related.
But they, as far as new seasons, they are planning a one-day strike at 10 unionized locations September 1st. So mm-hmm. That's a Sunday. Well, hope none of them are going on the TriMet so that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope no one snitches on them for just being there.
I'm calling... Are you on drugs? No, they're on strike. Is that not what this line is for?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
There are, you know, shoppers, don't freak out. There are other grocery stores available in the metro area.
Well, right before Labor Day, that is, you know, people are doing their meats.
People do want to shop if you're, you know, barbecuing, cooking out, that kind of thing.
Yes.
The strike. Strike.
Are they on strike?
Strike one.
are they on drugs? No, they're on strike. God, that's good. I don't know. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but you know, good luck to all.
Yes.
I hope everyone gets what they need to.
Yeah.
And if you got to exert a little bit of power, that's, you know,
it's the where the it's you know it's
crushed,
the pressure.
We get crushed April 15th every year. We get crushed.
Tax day.
By having.
I was like, what's April 15th? 5 days before 420? What's going on?
So we get crushed every day. Every time I have to hit my brakes at a stop sign, I say to myself, that's at least $50 of my time. No, I'm kidding. But every day we get, you know, crushed by having to deal with these, you know, whatever situation, system, whatever you want, you know, that are don't care about us, that will replace us in a heartbeat.
Mm.
If we can exert a little bit of power as people, why not?
Yeah.
We built this city on rock and roll.
So true. Is that song about Cleveland or did I make that up?
I
guess I could look up the lyrics.
We'll talk about it offline.
We'll talk about it off air. Folks, you're listening to The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. It's KBOO's Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive. We would love to have your support for all the things we do at KBOO, for all the things we do at The Gap. We love to talk about what's going on in our area and what's impacting people from a different perspective. If you appreciate that sort of thing, consider supporting us with a donation. kboo.fm/give is the online link to donate. You can also text the word KBOO to 44321. And we would also appreciate a check in the mail to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Thank you. If you donate, then I can thank you on air. So do that.
Yeah, you can do it online now. We'll read your name out. We're going to go on a quick musical break.
Yep, a little music, and we'll be back for the community question. Stay with us.
sunlight hurts my eyes. And something without warning love bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. When someone else instead of me always seems to know the way.
And we are back here on The Gap. We're going to switch over to our community question where you can call on in. So we have actually a very cool, interactive, thoughtful, data-driven, scientific artifact that we're going to be analyzing here tonight, today.
I don't know where I started. We're going to be here.
This is nighttime talk. This is nighttime, Tammy, I guess. We've been doing an analysis and opening the phone lines for you to chip on in.
Yes,
Althea.
Yes.
Will you tell us about this survey that you, the election survey that you just conducted, and what our question is for the people?
Yes, totally. So a few shows ago, I was talking about our election agenda survey at KBOO that's helping to inform all of our election coverage in the next 2 months to get everybody ready to vote. It's centered around one main question: what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? And just yesterday, we published the results. We ran the numbers, and we published the results. They're on our website. But we wanted to talk to you about it as well, thinking about, and we're looking at more of like the localized data of what people were talking about. And that, you know, of course, includes Portland, but Oregon, Southwest Washington. We have listeners who took the survey who are outside of that area even. So our question for you today, if you're in Portland, what district do you live in? Or if you live outside of Portland, you know, what is the most pressing issue in your neighborhood, do you feel? Or what is the most underrated issue in your neighborhood? We want to know. 503-231-8187, and we'll tell you a little bit about our results. You can also message us on our website. The website is kboo.fm. Click on that button that says chat with us. Tick, 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 tap, type out a little message. And you can also message us on Instagram. Our handle is at TheGapRadio. You can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com.
That's 503-231-8187.
Yes.
And as people start, and I'm telling, there's some really good stuff in there. And as people start calling in, Althea, I guess we're doing a little interview. I'm going to be interviewing you.
Ooh, okay.
Would you tell us a bit about the methodology as to say, general, how many people took the survey, what you know, some overarching themes or something?
Yeah. So that's kind of like the agenda that we published is what those ended up being. And the main, the overarching question that we really wanted people to ask is, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? And that produces like qualitative answers. You know, it's people saying like, oh, I want them to say this, blah, 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 blah. They need to talk about my neighborhood. They need to talk about safety. They need to talk about homelessness. They need to talk about climate crisis. These are all, you know, kind of, and then we tabulated those mentions and were able to put together some of the things that we found that our listeners are really the most interested in. The one that came up quite a bit is climate crisis. And that surprised me some, that was the main one, or the one that, you know, most people were mentioning at one time or another. I don't know. I kind of think it's because people have been experiencing so many more extreme weather events.
Sure. And recently. There was a couple active fires while the survey was out.
There was the fires. It was right after the like the heat wave. We were getting this survey out there. I mean, the ice storm this past winter was pretty gnarly. So, I mean, you know, there's that component of it, of thinking about what are people, what are the freak weather events that are less freaky and more regular. But also there was a lot of consciousness, you know, thinking about environmental dangers that are right here that we haven't solved for yet, you know.
Well, if we keep planting the trees and not watering them, maybe we'll save them.
Yeah, exactly. And no, I was going to do my impression of Harrison Ford for that one. But yes, it's a very apt metaphor. Portland survey takers were mentioning the critical energy infrastructure hub, the CEI hub in Northwest Portland, and the Zenith expansion are issues that people want to see dealt with. And, you know, very clearly those are things that elected officials have the power to make change about. We have Francis on the line. Hi, Francis. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm assuming you're wanting to speak more locally than nationally.
Yeah, we were thinking local, but whatever you got is good.
Okay. I moved to the Beaverton area a couple of years ago after our community was gentrified in Northeast Portland, and I still am very concerned about police accountability. Mm-hmm. And if I heard you correctly, you said this new city plan they're voting on would make the review committee only review issues of murder or death or violence and not other complaints.
I think it does. I believe the city code may limit what complaints can go before that committee. That's based on analysis from some KBU reporters.
Yeah, and I think that kind of defeats the purpose, because a lot of times, to avoid the potential of someone being executed by the police, if their abuses are addressed earlier, then we can miss that murder. I donate to KBU twice a year, and I'm getting ready to donate for the fall drive. And every time I donate, it's to honor the loving memory of Keaton Otis. I can hardly even talk about it still. He was a friend of my son's, and he was assassinated by members of the Portland Police Department on May 12th it's been over 10 years now. And the community holds a vigil for him every month. It was started by his dad. But I think the way that the city council is callously dismissing the pain and the concern that the community showed when they decided to have this review committee is pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Mm.
And if people that are affected by the police activities, who are concerned about the police activities, and they don't feel like riding in the police car with people who have the potential of doing what some have done, I have no problem with them not having to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all take care. I love you.
Thank you,
Francis. We really appreciate that.
That's brought up a bunch of really good points, but the point about seeing if there's patterns, how we can avoid, you know, possibly future issues where, you know, they having to have access to it. Yeah.
If it's, and I think that's, I feel like we're just so mired in it that we don't even necessarily have like the proactive, like we're preventing this from happening, because we don't even have this happened. We need to hold somebody accountable for that. We haven't even gotten that part yet.
Yeah.
Let alone the, what can we do to.
It's like it's always easier and say like it easy. Sure, it's harder, but it will be easier in the long run to do preventative measures than to, you know, do reactive measures, you know?
Yeah. It'd be cool to have both.
So you don't have to call and snitch on your own people, but whatever.
Oi.
I'll never get over see something. See, but this is not New York City. We got another caller on the line.
Hi, caller. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Me? Yes, it is.
Hi. Yeah. Well, I had one thing I was going to talk about, but listening to Francis, I feel like I just want to add on to her excellent point. So I had two friends who were murdered, not directly at the hands of the Portland police, but the response from the Portland Police Department going up to the top was just abominably bad. And it's been well reported across, you know, national media. I feel like it's not really on the radar of voters. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that changes. But this was the Normandale Park shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Where there was basically a full year of rampant misinformation in the press, which almost entirely went back to a single press release and related statements from the Portland police, where they grossly misrepresented the facts of the case.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, they demonstrably knew that what they were saying was false. For instance, they represented that the shooter was a homeowner,
mm-hmm.
Conjuring an image of protesters approaching him at his home,
mm-hmm.
When they had actually been in his apartment that was a half a block away from where the shooting took place. So they had already been in his apartment when they released that press release.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on. And I just think, you know, when people have the question of what role is this particular police department playing in this particular community, I really think that that case deserves continued scrutiny and retelling, because I think they really just showed us exactly who they are. I think that they showed what they are willing to do to people who are specifically speaking up to expose the problems with the way that the police department operates.
Mm-hmm.
They're not engaging with that in a good faith discussion. They are instead attempting to silence and discredit their critics.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Mm.
I delved into the issue at the Policing Justice exhibit. They had a documentary about that, and just chronicling all of the things that Mayor Wheeler and the police kept from the public about what was really going on in that story. And I think that, you know, something, this is sort of my analysis of what we've seen recently, at least in the past like year or so, is I think that there is some calculus from some members of city council to try to see if we still care about this.
Oh yeah.
If Portlanders still care about police accountability. And some part of that like turns my stomach, you know, because it was 82% of people in 2020 that voted for this. And then to have, you know, elected leaders or people trying to say that 82% of people isn't here anymore, mm-hmm. or that 82% of people didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They were too stupid to make decisions about how we want to interact with police or how police should be held accountable. That part roused me up, man.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you talking with us and reaching out to us, giving us a lot to think about.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, I'm looking at the, because you, this isn't their first year doing the election agenda.
Yeah.
And when you did it, the first one was 2020?
2020, yeah.
And yeah, policing was like the first one, wasn't it?
Policing, addressing, you know, police accountability. Addressing this, police brutality and racial justice were the top two.
This
top
year, mentoring. It didn't even make top five.
No.
Yeah.
Some racial justice and like social justice issues kind of lumped together, but that same specific pressure as this is the main thing that we need to do right now.
Well, because we thought that we had it because we were like, okay, we voted for it in 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
We just assumed that we wouldn't. Yeah.
We'd assumed that they wouldn't try to. At least we're like, we're on it.
Yeah.
Figured it. Great. We did. The people did what they were called to do.
Yeah.
Which was to vote a police accountability measure into place.
And now we got to make sure they don't undo it. I got one more caller on the line. How are you?
Hello?
Hi, Cassie. Hey. How you doing?
Oh, fine. My name is Kathy, and I think two issues, of course, is homelessness and drug addiction. That's mm-hmm. what needs to be dealt with, and I think one of the issues that's not really looked into is this deflection center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, what is plan B, you know?
Yeah.
What's plan B if plan A doesn't work? You know, I think they need a plan B, C, D, E, F, and G. And I'm wondering, what happens if this person doesn't want to go to treatment because this substance is highly addictive? I've never seen anything like this. What happens?
Kathy, you're making too much sense.
That's what I was going to say.
You're making too much sense. I'm a little frightened, too. What is going to... I don't know.
Well,
I've got to figure it out.
Treatment centers, is there going to be... What's happening?
I mean, the thing about the treatment centers is that even people who want to get sober and get into recovery, there's not enough treatment available to them. Whether that's in Portland or around the state, the resources that we can offer are much below the need.
And so what do they plan on doing? Arresting everyone?
Yeah. I mean, until there's a deflection center. I mean, they say that they're going to have mobile intervention teams. So maybe somebody in a bus is going to be following the cops and saying, hey, do you want to... I mean, that's what I assume when they say mobile teams. Do you want to go into treatment instead if you're, you know, evaluated for the sort of limited criteria of people who are eligible for deflection, or you're sitting your butt in jail for 6 months? Which we know, which with the fine, and we know that has such terrible outcomes for people.
Because even then, if you arrest them, you have to treat them because they're going to be sick.
Yes, and Multnomah County is known for not being a sober environment. Weirdly enough, drugs do get into jails.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm just wondering, have you discussed that, like, as a topic recently? Like, what is this deflection center? How is it going to work?
Yeah.
What if it doesn't work? What are the plans?
The deflection center, so we talked about it a little bit last week because it was announced that it wouldn't be even possible to open it until late October, even though recriminalization starts on Sunday.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even have sobering beds until early 2025. The place is going to be operated by a Baltimore nonprofit. It's located on, I think, 9th and Sandy, really close to KBOO, actually, right down the street. It's maybe going to be held up in a lawsuit from the preschool down the way that's saying that shouldn't be over there.
It was happening behind closed doors. So, again,
yeah, they
not
didn't
getting
talk
the neighborhood input.
The Buckman neighborhood about it. There's like this kind of complicated flowchart of who can be eligible for deflection. So you have to, I mean, you can't be like inebriated in any way at the time of arrest. Like if you're, you know, in some kind of crisis or if you're, you know, on drugs at that moment, you can't go to deflection, which is interesting. You can't have had any failed deflection attempt in the past 30 days, which it's not totally clear what that means. Like if there just wasn't treatment to put you in, like, does that count as a failed deflection attempt? Or if you don't want deflection, then there's like this whole other situation.
What about if you're at the moment on drugs and they don't take you, does that also count, like, go against them as a strike against them? Like,
yeah, I don't know if
it's a lot of questions.
A lot of questions, not a lot of answers. They put this together in, you know, maybe 6 months or so. And there is, so deflection is happening across the state, right? And not everybody is doing it in the way that Multnomah County is doing it.
We're very lucky for the way that they're doing it, because even as much as it's lacking, it's still more than a lot of places in Oregon.
It's still
because
something.
There's the resources.
But the interesting thing is in Washington County, they have something ready to roll, and they're only doing mobile like intervention.
Okay.
So they'll say like, oh, so-and-so was, you know, arrested for drug possession. Here's this team that's like available to, you know, get you out of the justice system immediately. And so the question is, how did Washington County put that together in such a short amount of time when Multnomah County can't even get into the, I think that yesterday or the day before was the first day they could even get into the building where they're doing the deflection center. And the answer is that Washington County has been working on this specific thing for 5 years. So they're ready to go.
Yes, I kind of figured that. I thought to myself when I heard about the deflection center is that it took so many years for us to get to this point. You know, starting with opiate addiction, starting with I think Oxycontin, Oxycodone, you know, given to people. It's not going to be 3 months that we figured it out. It's going to take years to figure this out. You know, and I hope it does, because I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen the amount of people, the varied amount of ages, and how sick people really are. And so when I'm thinking in my mind that you arrest all these people, you're going to have a whole bunch of people who are ill. And they need a hospital, not a jail.
Mm. Yeah. It's a great point, Kathy. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Getting some really good insights. Getting my brain churning.
Yeah.
We have one more caller. Is that right, Jerry?
Yes.
One more
caller. Hi, caller. You're on with us.
Hi there. I've been quite frustrated dealing with the police myself. I would defy anyone to try and call the Portland Police Bureau and get anyone on the phone at all if you have an issue with an officer. as I have, if you go down to the central precinct, no one will talk to you. It's like an armed camp. If you ask for an officer on the phone, you won't get them. If you have a problem with them, you have to go to the independent police review. If you ask for their supervisor, they won't get back with you. All of these independent police reviews, which I had experience with, including the city ombudsman, are basically giant garbage cans for complaints. So, because they really don't want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the bottom line. And they don't want records of any complaints.
Mm.
So there's just a basic, if you want accountability, you have to have the ability to actually talk to people. And they don't want to talk to you. And to actually find out who is in charge or who to talk to, I mean, that's a whole nother adventure. I do want to say about the issue of drug addiction. I really think that the city and Americans at large have gotten this completely wrong. If you read the RAND Corporation study on the opioid addictions, what we're dealing with is a mass poisoning because the people who are dying are dying from fentanyl that they aren't even aware of. I mean, many, if not most, of these drugs that they're taking. They're taking fentanyl unwittingly, and you know the deflection program is rife with problems. I mean, I don't know who thought of this bizarre program. First of all, there's constitutional problems, basic equal protection and fairness problems, because they're going to deflect people based on what time of day they get caught. I mean, that's madness. I just don't understand that. And the people who are helping them, who are going to be deployed, they themselves are in long-term substance abuse recovery. This is like bizarro world. And, you know, I wish people would read. You know, there's an important study in the Journal of the American Medical Association in Psychology last year, which clearly showed that the laws that we had before that decriminalized drugs had no effect. They just had no effect. It has nothing to do, the criminal laws have nothing to do with whether or not people take drugs. And again, a large part of it, the lion's share of these problems, are just people being poisoned. And they don't have that problem in Europe. That's what they don't realize. Europe doesn't have this problem because this problem has gone in through various stages, maybe about four different stages. But they don't prescribe opioids like they do in the United States.
Yeah.
So the problem is so endemic. But even organized crime isn't interested in bringing fentanyl to Europe because there's no market for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no market for it because they've never used it like they have in the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything is just ass backwards and on its head. And the whole issue of it's all intertwined, you know, policing and drugs. And, so it's just a bunch of nincompoops bumping into each other, and
I think you're right about that. We're gonna have to wrap you up there, but we really appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
We're just running out of time, and we got some other things we have to say.
I was letting him cook.
No, he was cooking. He had a lot of good stuff to say.
Love it. Thank you.
Free for all.
Free for all. Yes.
Summer free for all this weekend. Make updates tonight, 6:30. These are events that are happening in and around Portland. Bottleneck Blues Band at Columbia Park. Saturday at 6, Providence Stage Band at Grant Park. Sunday at 6, Jujuba is playing Selwood Park. Tonight at, I believe, 7:30, A Million Miles Away, the movie is playing at Seawall Crest Park. And on Saturday, Barbie is playing at Hamilton Park at 7:30 as well.
open to the public, meaning you don't need to bring your wallet.
Yes. Also, we got mail.
Mailbag.
I want to give a shout out to Harry, who sent us a lovely note and some coins. Thank you so much, Harry, in honor of, you know, the sunset years, the sunset weeks of this show. We've got two shows left. So, you know, listen, I guess.
That's, you have to. You
What's
must.
The point? You know, two shows left. You love the show. You want great shows like this in the future on KBOO. Consider supporting us with a donation. Wake up the neighborhood. That's the theme of the drive. KBOO.fm/give.
Show your love by sharing your love. KBOO/give or text KBOO to 44321. Send us a check mail or check in the mail.
Send us regular mail. We love getting mail.
20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Two more shows. We'll be back next week.
Yep.
Thank you all so much. Althea, you rock. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry. Tammy.
I'm Tammy.
You're the best.
Happy weekend.
We'll see you next time. Enjoy your weekend, folks.
Tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Election season is here, and at KBOO, we want Portlanders to be prepared to face their ballots with confidence. We've got a brand new